This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move along in the Psalter, continuing in Psalm 105 and then Psalm 106. He remembered his holy promise. Both we and our fathers have sinned. They put God to the test. Moses stood in the breach and a snare to them. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Holy God, holy and most gracious Father,
have mercy and hear us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power.
chapter 2. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but himself is to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, when St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned, he is merely restating what he had already written in chapter 1, that the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. Now, we too were once natural men and those who were perishing. But now, St. Paul says, we are those who have the mind of Christ, those for whom the word of the cross is no longer folly, but the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Now, the power to bridge the chasm between the natural and the spiritual, between folly and faith, between death and everlasting life, is the gospel. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to us who are being saved, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now, there once was a man who was having problems in his life. When he turned to his friends for advice, one of them told him that he should get to know Jesus and that he would help him with his problems. So that's what he did. He went on a quest to get to know Jesus. And he liked what he found. He attended church services where electric guitars and drum kits whipped up emotions, and the name of Jesus put a smile on everyone's face. He listened to Christian radio, where he heard about a Jesus who helped people when they were down, and who was worthy of praise because of his love, power, and holiness. He read books about how Jesus could help straighten out his finances, fix his family life, and get his body back into shape. Now, after he felt that he had really come to know Jesus pretty well, he started reading books about how, as a Christian, he was to live out his life and strengthen his grip on the faith. He was becoming so close to Jesus that he began to tell other people about how Jesus had helped him. About a year later, the man was tragically killed in an automobile accident. And when he died a natural man. He did not have the mind of Christ and was lost. Now, every day, men like this die and are condemned because they believe in the wrong Jesus. They believe in the Christ who mends their broken hearts, broken relationships, and broken lives. Now, of course, Christ certainly does do those things, but they fail to see why and in what way Christ mends their broken lives. They fail to believe in the Christ whose heart was broken on the cross, whose relationship with his Father was broken on the cross, and whose life was broken by the bitter pain and agony of bearing our sins on the cross. The central message of the church is not Christ the helper, not Christ the family strengthener, Christ the success giver, Christ the money manager, or Christ the true blue friend. The central message of the church is summed up by Paul in two words: Christ crucified. That is our message. And if that is not our central message, our primary message, the message we hear and teach and preach over and over again, we are preaching a natural Christ, a false Christ, a false gospel, and a false God. So Christ crucified, is that the Christ in whom you believe? Well, the devil likes nothing more than to direct our focus off of the crucified Christ to a Christ divorced from the cross, to a Christ who makes sense to us 21st century Americans. But again, Paul says this, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." We don't preach the cross as if to say, "See, now doesn't that make sense?" No, we simply preach the cross. We proclaim the truth of a bloody dead God on a bloody piece of wood shaped like a T. That is our message. If the cross makes sense to you, you have not yet begun to fully understand it, because the cross of the crucified God transcends all sense. It is the message about a holy and righteous God who let us poor miserable sinners nail him to a piece of wood so that he might bleed and die for our salvation. It is the message of a first century Jew from a village in Israel who was crucified by some Roman soldiers for some unknown crime. It is a message about a man who was also God, about a sacrifice who was also a priest, about a lamb who was also a shepherd, about a defeat which was in truth a victory. And that is our message. That is not the message our friend heard. That is not the message that many churchgoers hear today. But it is the message that you will always hear from this pulpit, because we preach Christ crucified. And what a message to preach. What a message to hear. The very message that the unbelieving world regards as stupidity and folly, we know to be life and salvation and joy. For this is always the way of God, to use those things that the world considers foolish and weak and despised to accomplish the most miraculous. Jesus never ceases to be the crucified Christ and the resurrected Christ. He never ceases to be the one who continually draws us to his cross and passion and empty tomb. He never ceases to be the one who gives us life and forgiveness and grace in his precious gospel and sacraments. We who have been misled at times into following false Christs come to the true Christ and receive true and complete forgiveness. We who do have broken hearts, broken relationships, and broken lives come to the Christ who was broken by the cross and receive from him peace, life, and healing. We who have modernized Christ by divorcing the cross from him confess our sins and hear him say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." There is no true, lasting, heavenly joy outside of a crucified Christ, for there is no Christ outside of the crucifixion. There, sin is destroyed. There, death is vanquished. There, the gift of life is ours. For all men, for all the hurting, the crying, the needy, the lost, the poor and the downtrodden, for us, there is only one hope, one Christ, one gospel, and that is Christ crucified. Through this message and by his grace alone, we have the mind of Christ and are saved. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.
I cry to you, O Lord.
In the morning my prayer comes before you.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And uphold me with a willing spirit.
My mouth is filled with your praise.
And with your glory all day.
Every day I will bless you.
And praise your name forever and ever.
By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
He redeems your life from the pit.
And crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Let my cry come to you.
Let us pray. O Lord, keep your family, the church, continually in the true faith, that relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may ever be defended by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Almighty and most merciful God, as Phoebe, Dorcas, and others were chosen to assist in the work of the apostles and to serve in works of love, so have Michelle and Carolyn been chosen for special service in your church. Grant them grace and strength that in their labors of love and their good example, they may serve you faithfully to the glory of your holy name, to help those in need, and to the everlasting benefit of your church. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
I thank you,
my heavenly Father, Christ, through your Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my duties in life may please you. For it is your hands that have been myself, my body and soul, all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.